Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you're part of Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD. How do you spell creativity? Well, I spell it W-O-R-K. Hard work, inspired work. And that work for the viewer, the listener, the patron, or visitor, ideally forever changes the way they look at and experience the world. You know, years ago, I photographed graffiti on the side of the Berkeley Art Museum. Yes, a spray can blasphemy. And this one said, "The art of work is the work of art." And I agree with that. No, not the graffiti, but that we admire the unseen creative process, that, wow, where did that come from moment? And I believe our next guest would agree with that. Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we? She is Jana Malamud Smith, author of An Absorbing Errand, subtitled How Artists and Craftspeople Make Their Way to Mastery. It's very nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
So I'll ask you the obvious question, Jana. May I call you Jana?
Please.
What inspired you to pen 250 pages of some of the finest prose I've ever read since Susan Sontag's book on photography?
Well, first of all, thank you. I really love trying to think about things that interest me, and I've all my life watched creative people. My father was the writer Bernard Malamud, and I grew up for a while in a college community in Vermont that was filled with artists, writers, potters, weavers, musicians. And I just was very curious about understanding more deeply what we mean when we talk about creativity.
So you had a father for a writer or a writer for a father, or are they interchangeable?
Well, I have a book called My Father is a Book.
I so know.
they're a bit interchangeable in
yeah,
certain
I bet.
Ways. But yes, I had a writer for a father, and the most important lesson that I learned from him was how hard creative work really is. And I think one of the most interesting moments in my young adulthood was, or maybe a little bit later, was when a family friend who knew a lot about his work and his papers that were now in libraries told me that there were something like 17 first drafts of one of his short stories in the Library of Congress. And that was remarkable to me. I knew he worked really hard. I knew he was very disciplined, but when you understand that somebody who's as accomplished as he was has worked that hard, it's an eye-opener.
And speaking of hard work, the title of your book is An Absorbing Errand. Now, tell me, where did that come from? Wait, let me guess. I bet you appropriated it from Henry James, with attribution, of course.
Tell me you're a mind reader.
Yes.
It's a wonderful quotation in Henry James. There's a character in one of his early novels, and then actually the novel's about a ne'er-do-well sculptor who isn't so good at working hard. But one of the characters at the beginning of the book observes that, you know, that we're told that in order to be truly happy, we have to be able to get outside of ourselves. But he says, you know, it's not enough to get outside. You got to stay outside. And to stay outside, one must have some absorbing errand. And what I loved about that is that wonderful idea that you have to have something that keeps you occupied, that's bigger than yourself, that helps you approach the world. The way I understand that is that if you have an artistic practice that is meaningful to you, or you're a craftsman, a craftsperson, and it's meaningful to you, you have a new way of looking at the world. I mean, suppose for a minute that you decide you want to build wooden boats. All of a sudden, every ocean landscape you see, every boat you see, every piece of wood you see suddenly has new meaning to you. And so if you decided, God, I want to travel around the world, all of a sudden you'd have this reason to look in every port, in every city, in every country, in every continent around the world. And writing does that, music making does that, every craft does that. It gives us a threshold through which to stand on, a lens, a much more broader way of looking at the world than we might otherwise possess.
Well, it's also, aside from being an artistic license and self-actualization comes to mind too, it's the idea that you can go on a perpetual hunt and be justified very often in what seems very maniacal to other people. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I mean, maniacal is a great word, and I think there are maniacal people on that spectrum, and probably it takes a certain amount of mania to be utterly outstanding, because it's so very hard. But I think what you're also talking about is we're not quite sure at this point in this country how to have a meaningful life. I mean, we have lots of ideas about that. But one of the things that's been difficult for people in recent decades is that between the Silicon Valley revolution and globalization, we've put too much public attention on money as being the root of a meaningful life. And most of us know we're never going to have all that much money. And if you look at the history of the world, what you discover is that people have wonderful ways of making huge meaning in their lives that have nothing to do with money making. And mastering a craft or an art form is one of the oldest and most tried and true of those.
And indeed, our guest has done that. She is Jana Malamud-Smith, author of An Absorbing Errand. I assume you can buy this book right here, right now at Amazon.com.
And many other places, yes.
You know, gosh, there's so much to talk about here. I was very fascinated about the talk that you have in the book with your mother-in-law, Edie. And as I was reading that, I noticed a quote by a Miriam Leonardi, who's a chef in Italy, who said, "I am not creative. That is not what I do." You know, this is an issue that people get into that I've heard all my life. Oh, you're a photographer. Oh, you're so creative. Oh, I really envy you. Oh, you're a broadcaster. Gosh, you can get up every day and do exactly what you want. Why can't I do that? You know, I feel there's a conspiracy in this country perpetuated by art collectors, museums, and galleries to convince people that they are not creative, that when they walk into a museum, they should walk around and speak in hushed tones. And if somehow they look at a Jackson Pollock painting described, well, Time magazine called Jackson Pollock Jack the Dripper, if they don't understand that, they're intimidated into silence, that they're somehow a Philistine, they're an untrained peasant, you know, pearls among swine. I mean, why is this?
Well, first of all, that's sad. And I think that at some point in the last century, we kind of divided something we called high art from something we called low art. And I think that's going to go away because it's just silly. Great, wonderful. The thing about art that you want is you want it to move you deeply. And that's what matters. But I think you're also talking about something else, which is that I think what the Italian cook, who I quote in the book, was trying to say is that there is an enormous amount of self-discipline in mastering a craft. It isn't just all creative in the I'm going to mix the walnuts in with the chocolate and it's going to be, you know, and a little Grand Marnier and it's all going to be wonderful. What she was trying to say is that in her tradition, she was trying to pass along very precisely recipes that had been more or less the same for hundreds of years. And so for her, the real joy of the craft was to rigorously bring the past forward into the present. And technically, you know, that is part of a lot of crafts. If you're playing the cello, you know, you might be creative like Yo-Yo Ma and bring a whole new bunch of music and a whole new mix of music into the world. But trust me, Yo-Yo Ma's also spent decades on the rigors of capturing the craft as it came from the past. Or, you know, if you look at those early Picasso drawings, you know, they're absolutely effort after effort after effort to master the basics as rigorously as he can. And I think that's probably a little bit separate from what you were saying, but I think both things are part of it. One is the rigor of mastery, and the other is not to be intimidated by fools who somehow want to add a snobbish aspect to it all.
And many of them own galleries, unfortunately. Would you stay with us, please, through the next segment? I'd love to continue this conversation. We can even talk about a wonderful book called Talent is Overrated. Our guest is Jana Malamud-Smith, author of An Absorbing Errand. I'm Christopher Springman. You are listening to Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD. Please stay with us.